Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Oh, Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is caught. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike said, Walker.
We are rocking and rolling on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz kicking it around for the next hour. We inch one step closer to NFL action, week number 17. Some news and notes to get to. Indianapolis Colts, right now, today, it will be Sam Ellinger getting the start over Carson Wentz. Wentz still on the COVID list, but the Colts did reach out, George, to old man Philip Rivers to see and pique his interest in possibly joining the team, especially if Carson Wentz can't go. If it is Ellinger, Ellinger is the standout at Texas for Texas, the university, and the Texas Longhorns did play very well and sparingly in the preseason. He gets his start right now entering this battle against the Las Vegas Raiders. Indianapolis is a 6.5-point favorite right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And in the other news in action, we have that Monday night game in Heinz Field. Big Ben right now a 3-point favorite over the Cleveland Browns. They're fighting for their playoff lives. He said possibly this will be his last game in Heinz Field. And I have to be honest with you, he's playing like it because he hasn't stepped up and led this team, especially after that disappointing performance in Arrowhead last week against the Chiefs.
Yeah, you know, I wonder this, Joe. If let's just say for the sake of argument, let's say Ben was 32, would it matter? I mean, what would his career future be as a starting quarterback? I mean, are we talking a backup? Would somebody pay him anywhere near the amount of money he's making now? He has no arm strength, right? He can barely throw the ball 20, 30 yards down the field. He's not that player anymore. So I do wonder if not for the age, would he be forced into retirement here? In this case, he's likely to go out on his own terms because he has no choice. I don't see another team offering him a contract and saying, hey, can you be our starting quarterback? I don't think he has an option here. So, Ben is done whether he wants to be or not. As for Indianapolis, with the new rules, Carson Wentz has to be in 5 days. I think he went on Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That'd be Saturday. If he has no symptoms, he can come back. You know, whether or not that happens or not, we'll have to wait and see here. So if he has no symptoms, he can come back on Saturday thanks to the new rules. If not for those new rules, he would definitely be out, though, as he is unvaccinated.
Yeah, now, do you take a shot? We talked about this the other day in terms of pulling the trigger if you're back in the Colts right here, right now. Remember that prior to Wentz being put on the IR in terms of not being able or the COVID list for this matchup, the line was 7.5 in favor of Jonathan Taylor and the crew. Now, after Wentz was on the list, it dipped as low as 6 and then inched back up on FanDuel to about 6.5. But would you pull the trigger if you want to back the Colts in a big way, obviously under the key number of 7? Because quite honestly, can you see a scenario where Wentz is not symptomatic? I mean, at the end of the day, unless he has a cough or a fever, he's most likely going to play in this ballgame, no?
I also wonder this. I mean, once again, I think you're 100% right. Now, if you have a cough, all right, you can't hide that, right? Sneezing, you can't hide that. But everything else you can hide. If you really want to play, how honest are these players going to be? I'm not saying everybody's not going to lie, but I got to tell you, Joe, I mean, you played sports. I played sports. We've all played with various ailments. I see this, the pros being doing the same thing. Now, are they going to tell anybody? Yeah, I got the sniffles. Yeah, I mean, even a fever, you can hide a fever. I mean, I don't know how many players we're missing. This is what I think is what the NFL wants, by the way. You know, once again, they want these guys to play as much as possible here. So I pretty much do expect him to play. Yeah. I think anybody who's eligible to come back, so anybody who has this done by, really, I guess if you count the same day, that means the only players who definitely will miss the games are guys who are in COVID from Thursday on, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's only 4 days. Anybody else can come back, right? So, I do expect him to play. Gambling now is it's hard because you don't know, you know, who's going to come back, who's going to go on, what's the lineup going to be. This is an oil sport. It's a pain in the neck right now because you sort of, once again, you're gambling in the first place. Then you're gambling again on what players will be available. But if you're asking me, if I was to put a bet down now, I would assume that Wentz is playing.
Yeah, and it's a big game as well. You got a red-hot Raiders team that are coming off a very gutty win over the Denver Broncos, 17-13, as basically one-point underdogs in that ballgame. They did strike the upset on the road a couple of weeks ago on that Tuesday night against the Cleveland Browns. So this is a team that could strike an upset along the way. And even though Indianapolis is playing as well as any team in the NFL right now, you have to wonder, you know, if Carson Wentz isn't 100%, even if he does play, but let's say isn't his, you know, usual self, and maybe he does struggle with some symptoms in this ballgame that maybe potentially is hiding. Maybe you lean to the under or you lean to the rushing attack of Jonathan Taylor to carry this team. We'll have to see how that game plays out as we inch closer to the action. Another key development is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right here, right now, George. Playoff team in your opinion or no? You think they step up?
I don't. No. I think the schedule is too hard here. Well, you could say that for each team in there, but no Pittsburgh.
When George and I come back, we'll get you prepared for NFL action week number 17. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz kicking it around, getting you prepped and ready for the action in the NFL this coming weekend. I got to be honest, George, games aren't all that attractive in terms of some big spreads. You know, you have Tampa Bay now, 12.5-point favorite over the New York Jets. You have Buffalo, 14.5-point favorite over the Atlanta Falcons. We see some closer matchups in terms of the divisional ball game between Philadelphia and Washington, 3.5. But the game of the week, it happens to be, in my opinion, in the AFC, takes place in Cincinnati. We have Kansas City and Pat Mahomes just basically taking names and just beating the competition into the ground. Doesn't matter who they face. I mean, that defense has stepped up, opportunistic, made offenses completely one-dimensional. The offense for Kansas City starting to come around. No Travis Kelce, no problem. They beat up on the Pittsburgh Steelers basically as a 10-point favorite last week. Now they go on the road to face Cincinnati. Cincinnati abused Baltimore as a 7-point home favorite. Now they're catching 5.5. And I said it earlier in the week that I really feel that this is a make it or break it game for Cincinnati. If they're for real, they can step up and go toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes. I believe they have the offense. I'm going to take them here with this. +5.5. Also like them on the money line. This could be one of my best bets this coming weekend.
I can't see how you're making this a best bet. You want to take Cincinnati, that's fine. Say it's a best bet means you actually really, really like it. I don't know how to say that.
I do.
Kansas City's a damn good team. They've proven they can play defense as well as offense. This probably is the game of the week. I mean, I can't see how it's not. Right? Kansas City's your number one seed in the AFC. Cincinnati, I guess they're the favorite to win that division, you know, although it's not going to be easy because, once again, this could be a loss for Cincinnati. All right, it could very easily be a loss. And, you know, next week I think they have, Cleveland, the Battle of Ohio, I believe. Yeah, so that's a big game as well here. That's why this division is far from over, the AFC North. right? Baltimore, listen, I think they're off the tracks. I don't think it matters what happens here. They got the Rams this week, and they got Pittsburgh next week. All right, we talked about Pittsburgh earlier. They're in all sorts of issues here with Steelers. I don't think they're a very good team in the first place. But, you know, they are in the hunt here. But their schedule, once again, Cleveland, Baltimore. Which team goes 2-0? Anybody want to tell me a team that's going to go 2-0 out of this bunch? Yeah, they all seem to be 1-1s to me, which is going to make things pretty much the way they are now. Cleveland plays Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. So I guess it's Cincinnati the edge here. I like Cincinnati, I do, but I don't trust Zach Taylor. I don't trust him, Joe. I'm not saying this because you and I have been on him all year. I know your hatred for him is very obvious, and I'm pretty much right there in line with you. But I think Zach Taylor has played way too cautious at times, way too cautious. The strength of your team is Burrow, Chase, Boyd, Higgins. I love Mixon, but the strength of your team is throwing the football. And too many times he's played conservative. I'll go back to say this again. If they missed the playoffs by a game, it'll be because he was silly against that game against San Fran. He tried to lose the game to Denver, but Fangio wouldn't let him because he's worse than Zach Taylor.
Right.
So I like Cincinnati. I do. But you give them a year or two, they can build up that defense or so, and maybe an offensive lineman, they're going to be a fun team to watch.
Well, let's look big picture here, okay? Let's look outside of this game, and let's try to see if we could find some value, right? Let's just look on what FanDuel has for the AFC Championship. They still now obviously have Kansas City as the front runner in the AFC. I mean, they are the best team in the conference, just taking names, beating up everybody that they play, right? And that offense has come back into form. They found some more consistency. Darrell Williams has helped. Obviously, Tyreek Hill back in the lineup last week. They need a Travis Kelce to be healthy. But assuming everything, they're plus 160 to take home the title and represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. We saw Josh Allen and the crew bounce back into form as an underdog against Belichick and the Patriots. They made up for that loss a couple weeks ago. They're plus 400, so 4-1 to win the AFC. Would you take a flyer in terms of the dark horses now? Right outside of Buffalo and Kansas City, you have New England. Okay, maybe you believe in Mac Jones enough in year one to carry this team to the championship. The defense is good. Tennessee, is Derrick Henry coming back? Do you know what you're getting? Or do you take a shot on either Indy or Cincinnati at really 8-1 for the Colts and 12-1 for the Bengals? Because if they knock off Kansas City this weekend, they're not going to be there at 12-1 anymore.
Agreed. I think the way you're looking at it, yeah, if you're looking for value, it's not New England. I can't see New England getting there. No, I just can't. I said I would be shocked if they even win a playoff game. You know, they've been protecting Mac Jones. They don't have the weapons there. Great season. Awesome season for New England. But, no, I wouldn't take them. I think you are looking at Indy or Cincinnati. I would probably feel better about Tennessee, by the way. I mean, Derrick Henry's going to come back. It looks like he might come back week 18. Can he seamlessly come back into that, be that guy again? Maybe, but I don't know if I can bet on it without seeing it. I like the Colts. You know, I do like the Colts, but even with a healthy Carson Wentz, I don't know what to tell you about this guy. He was awful, awful on Saturday, except for a couple of throws. And they did win the game because of those throws, but he was awful besides that. Against good playoff teams, you're not going to be able to survive with a quarterback who's, you know, 75% of his throws are bad. That's just not going to happen here. I'll go 12-1 with the Bengals. I understand I'm probably not going to get there, you know, but I'm not betting it for that. I'm betting it because, hey, it's 12-1. I'm getting the value. So, yeah, I'll go with Cincinnati. I do think the Colts might be a slightly better team, you know, especially with Darius Leonard, the all-world there. But I think the Bengals have the more well-rounded team. And once again, we're an offensive-driven league. If Taylor lets them play, this team can put up points with anybody.
No, I agree with you, and obviously, in order to win ball games in a playoff environment, especially on the road, you need to be able to run the football. That's the biggest thing I think that goes unnoticed in terms of when we look at Tampa Bay and their Super Bowl run last year with Tom Brady. Yes, it was Tom Brady, but it was still the rushing attack of Leonard Fournette. It was the physicality of the offensive line that brought balance to that offense that allowed Brady to open it up and work off a play action. It allowed them, you know, when they played Green Bay, to think run first and then that's why Brady was able to attack over the top. So without a running game, you're not going to go very far in terms of a playoff environment, especially if you have to go on the road. So when you look at some of these teams, you know, Baltimore, okay, yeah, great offense. They could pound the rock as long as Lamar's healthy. Where do they stand from a defensive perspective? They're 26-1. And then you have the Chargers, which pick a day and the weekend that they step up, because you never know what you're going to get with Justin Herbert and the offense. And that defense was terrible against Houston. They're 26-1. Or do you take a flyer on two potential wild card teams that are fighting for their lives in Cleveland and Miami, 50-1 or 55-1? The reason why I don't like Miami is because they can't run the football effectively. They have no running game whatsoever. So if we're talking, which team do you like out of those two? I would lean to Cleveland if they get there.
I would probably agree. I mean, once again, I think if you're going Cleveland or Miami for that matter, 50-1, 55-1, you're just doing it for the high totals. You're not really believing this. I don't think anybody can truly believe these teams are going to win the AFC, but you're taking a shot. Why not? Hey, I'll throw $10 and I'll throw $20, whatever it might be. Money you don't care about. You know, so you're just hoping to hit the dartboard, hit the bullseye, which is fine. Yeah, we all do stuff like that, but I can't give you any kind of reasoning that says, oh, yeah, they could possibly be there. I can't. All right, Cleveland, I mean, Baker Mayfield's been bad, and he's spanked up as well. He's hurt. Maybe he's over some of his injuries, but he's not, certainly not over all of them here. He's banked up, he's hurt. And Miami, listen, I like the defense, and I like what Flores does. He's coming after you. Yeah, he's coming. Like I said, if he's going to lose, it's not because he didn't, well, you know, use all the ammunition, all the shots in his gun. He's coming through all sorts of blitzes. He's going to make that quarterback uncomfortable. That being said, you said it. You know, they don't have much of a running game. Even the passing game, nothing to brag about. If you could stop Waddle, you could stop this team pretty easily, right? So, no, I can't go with either one of those teams. But if you made me choose, sure, give me Cleveland. I think Baltimore's off the tracks by the way they're done. Chargers are interesting, but they can't stop the run.
Yeah, another team that could be live as a potential dark horse, they play the Colts, is the Las Vegas Raiders and Derek Carr. They're a 70-1 shot. When we come back, we'll look at the NFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the conference championship odds, we left off with the AFC, talking about the front runners, obviously Buffalo and Kansas City at plus 160 for the Chiefs, plus 400 for the Bills, and then every dark horse after that. When you look at the NFC right now, obviously, a lot of people and a lot of eyes are on Tampa Bay. They're actually the second choice behind Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And even though Green Bay struggled with Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns last week, picking up a 24-22 victory, they're plus 195, George, to win the NFC Championship. Touchdown Tommy and the crew are plus 310. Then you have the Rams at plus 490. Your Cowboys right there with Stafford and the crew. Plus 490 as well. And then we fall off the map with the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray, 10-1. San Francisco now with the injury to Jimmy Garoppolo. Trey Lance will get the start. They're 18-1. And then Jalen Hurts and the crew playing red hot right now, over 500. They're 31-1 to win the NFC Championship. I mean, you could roll the dice with that team. First-year head coach Nick Sirianni and the crew. But if you want a real dark horse, it's the helter-skelter Minnesota Vikings. Dalvin Cook comes back. They face off against Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night. This line was basically 6.5. Now it's up to 7. You want to take a shot on Zimmer. You know I can't stand them. 85-1 to pull out the NFC Championship. Would you pull the trigger? I think I still would at this point. I did it on Seattle. They're dead to me. Russell Wilson and the crew. But at 85-1, maybe he could find lightning in a bottle with Dalvin Cook down the stretch.
Maybe. Your problem initially, of course, is they got to play Green Bay Sunday night. All right. And this is not a game where Green Bay doesn't need. They need to win. Once again, they're holding off the Cowboys, Rams, Buccaneers with that number one overall seed there. So they want that week over because they want Rodgers to rest that toe as much as possible here. That game Sunday night, by the way, I don't know if you know what the weather is in that game, Joe.
I don't care.
5 degrees.
I love me.
Five.
Minnesota.
5 degrees in Green
Bay. It's a balmy five. A balmy five degrees.
Yeah, with the wind chill, a double-digit wind blowing, the wind chill is going to make it feel like negative 10, negative 12.
The frozen tundra of
land. Yeah, it's not frozen anymore, though. They've got the heated coils, man. That's no such thing anymore. Too bad. John Madden would love this game, the late John Madden. But, boy, I don't know what's going to happen in this game. All right, it's hard to throw a football when it's that cold because that ball is a brick. It's an absolute brick rock. Both teams are going to run it, right? I would think Dalvin Cook has a huge game here. I would think Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. It's maybe a big A.J. Dillon game, by the way, because he's more of a that guy that no one's going to want to tackle in the fourth quarter. They use him that way. You know, little short passes out of the backfield. Hard to throw the ball into the secondary in this kind of weather here. So, I mean, we know it's Minnesota, so it'll be a one-score game, right? It's going to be a close game here. They do have a winning record in Green Bay over, I forget how many years. So they do play well against the Packers. They beat them earlier this year. So important for Minnesota. I don't think they can make the playoffs with a loss here. I think, once again, I think it's going to be a very close game. I sort of give the edge to the Packers, though, because of the weather. I'm not betting this game, not the game. I might bet some under totals in this game because of the weather, but not. I don't know if I can take the Vikings here. But I think it's going to play to their strength, and that's Zimmer wants to run the ball. And that's what's going to have to be done in this game. Interesting contest here. If Minnesota does happen to win this game, we're looking at the odds to make the playoffs. I think they've really given away games they should have won earlier. But they get Chicago at home next week. So that's a W. I'm going to give you a W there. If they can get Green Bay this week, they have a shot. But here's your problem. So who are we taking out? Are we taking out the Eagles? They're playing with the Washington football team and the Giants. Oh, no, what? Not the other play with John? No, and then Dallas. And Dallas may have nothing to play for.
Right? Yeah, but Dallas, you think Dallas...
Who are they losing to?
Wait a second. The way Dallas abused Washington, right? I mean, Washington was dead and buried, and they stuck a fork in them on Sunday night, right? You don't think that the Cowboys, even if they have backups to play, they're going to look to bury Jalen Hurts, and they hate the Eagles. And there's no way McCarthy, whether they need the game or not, is going to just lay up to a first-year head coach, Nick Sirianni. And he might make Dak and that offense play a half if he's going to rest guys. There's no way they're going to go in there and lay up, in my opinion. The way they're playing now, they have that killer instinct. You got Micah Parsons. You got DeMarcus Lawrence. You got Randy Gregory. I mean, that defense is playing lights out right now, and they're not going to allow Jalen Hurts the opportunity to just waltz into the playoffs if it's up to them. I'm just saying that, Joe Georgie.
Okay, there's a couple of things here, though. Good chance. Guess who Dallas will play in the first round of the playoffs? Philadelphia. Right, that's whether you beat them or you win or lose the game. Good chance that's who you're going to play in the first round. Do you want to show them all your little tricks in that game? I think you can make a very good argument, by the way, that Dallas, assuming you think Dak has figured out his problems, got his swagger back, got his confidence back, that they're a team to beat. That defense looks fantastic, right? With Parsons there, Lawrence is back now. Gregory, they're coming after the quarterback hard, all right? Trevon Diggs has been great. They've got their confidence and swagger back on offense. Oof, this team's no fun to play. And they're dangerous at home, much more dangerous at home than they are on the road, like most teams for that matter. So, I just find it interesting that Dallas, you're playing Philadelphia, there's a good chance you're going to play them again the week after. And that's happened a few times, by the way. It happened about 3-4 years ago in Dallas. Same two teams. Dallas rocked Philadelphia in week 17, then they killed them again the next week also. So I find that interesting here. But Philadelphia's going to win this week. So if Minnesota loses, this is all moot, by the way. They have to beat Green Bay Sunday night. If they lose, this is all but done. San Fran's the other team, by the way. And maybe that's more interesting, Joe. Could they lose to Houston this week with Trey Lance? Any chance there?
I said I liked Houston at 15.5 when the opening line was. Okay, now it's down to 12.5. And as good as Davis Mills has played, now it's getting to a point, 12.5. I mean, are we that much sold on Houston's defense at this point. Like, forget Davis Mills. Forget their ability to move the football, because they are. They're putting up points. They put up 41 against the Chargers. The week before that, they put up 30. But are we buying that if San Francisco says, you know what, we're going to run it down your throat, that we're buying that Houston could stop the run if, let's say, Shanahan decides we're going to pound it down your throat 35 or 40 times in this matchup? Because they couldn't stop Russell Wilson and Rashad Penny a few weeks ago. And even though L.A. didn't have Austin Eckler, they were playing from behind the whole game, so they couldn't run the football. Do we really buy the Houston defense to really keep it within 12.5 now? I liked it better at 15.5, maybe right around 14, but 12.5 with Davis Mills?
No, I agree with you, by the way. I agree with everything you just said. I am on Houston, but to cover, not to win the game. And this is whether it's Lance or Garoppolo, by the way. Because Garoppolo, by the way, they say Garoppolo keeps saying he's expecting to start. I can't see how you're starting with a torn UCL and a chip bone in your thumb. Can't see it. But, man, whatever. I think they win the game with Lance or Garoppolo starting at quarterback. But I think Houston can cover. So that's why I took that. But we go back to this. That means Philadelphia can't catch San Fran. Because San Fran beat him head-to-head. So either San Fran would lose next week. I don't know who they're playing next week offhand. They would hold the tiebreaker over Minnesota. So Minnesota can really only get ahead of Philadelphia. All right, they would need to win out. Philadelphia, mm-hmm. we assume, will go 1-1. Then it comes down to conference record. It looks like they have both tied. They would both be at 7-5 there, so it'll come down to strength of victory, and I don't know who wins that offhand. I have to go look that up, do some math there. So it'll be a mess. But that's the only way, really, Minnesota can do this, is they have to win out and have Philadelphia lose to either Washington or Dallas. Certainly could happen. Certainly could happen there, because you're right, Philadelphia could lose to Dallas. Maybe Dallas does go full bore here. I don't know what McCarthy's preference is in games that may not mean anything. And let's face it, odds are the game will mean something to Dallas. You know, if they win this week, and it'll certainly mean something. The only way it wouldn't mean anything is if McCarthy doesn't care about seeding. If Dallas loses this week, Green Bay wins, it means they can't get the number one seed. If he doesn't care about 2, 3, 4, then it won't mean anything to him. But I don't know what his preference is when he was at Green Bay. Did he still play his regulars in a meaningless? Did he rest guys? We don't know. I can see Tyron Smith certainly getting the game off, guys like that. Maybe Zeke with the knee. So it'll be interesting here. But odds are Minnesota's not getting in.
Well, they're going to need a monumental effort. Now, in terms of this matchup, I think they match up well, even though they're on the road against Green Bay. They're catching 7 points. Let's not forget last year, Dalvin Cook, now granted no fans in attendance in Lambeau. He rushed for basically 3 touchdowns on the ground. Also, I think he added one on a 50-yard screen pass. They won that matchup, I believe it was 26-20 in that ball game. So you got to feel that they're a confident group heading into Sunday night. You want to give me a touchdown, even though it's Kirk Cousins in prime time? I know I can't stand that, but he did step up against the Bears when it looked like they wouldn't cover that game. Hang on by a thread, by the way. They won by 8, laying 7. But I'll take my shots. I mean, a touchdown in a divisional game with playoff implications on the line, with sub weather under 32 degrees, like you mentioned, going to feel like negative 10. I'll take a shot. Are we sold that Green Bay is still the team to beat in the NFC right now, even though FanDuel has them as the front runner?
No. Like I said, I think it's Dallas if Dak has got his swagger back, which we'll find out this week. Once again, did the offense look good again? I think Dallas is the team to beat.
I agree with you. As long as you can run the football and force turnovers on the road, you have a shot. And when you have a trigger man like Dak Prescott, a dual threat, not bad odds on the road. When we come back, we'll dive into some action for Week 17. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
About About a month and a half ago, I was buying into Micah Parsons, and I said, you know what? He's a game changer. I followed his career at Penn State with James Franklin. I said, this was a great pickup in terms of the 13th overall selection. George is a diehard Cowboy fan, but he was failing to buy in. He didn't believe in Zeke in terms of his rushing attack. He liked Pollard, wasn't sure if old man Zeke had what it took, and he had doubts about Dak Prescott. And I said, George, you know what? They have the recipe. If they do get cooking, they could be a Super Bowl contender. And now here we are a month and a half later, and George is all of a sudden buying in. At that particular time, Dallas was 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. Now they're 9-1, but more importantly, plus 490 to win the NFC Championship. And if we're talking that every team in the NFC has deficiencies, Dallas at plus 490 with the Rams isn't bad value. And I have to be honest with you, if we're just splitting hairs and we're looking at the Rams and Dallas, you have a quarterback in Matt Stafford. Granted, he was with Detroit but never won a playoff game. And you have a quarterback and a complete team with the Dallas Cowboys that have the offense. They have an opportunistic defense. They have two solid running backs. And they have a coach that's been there before. Even though McVay's took his team to the Super Bowl, he sort of regressed since that time. I don't know, George. 490, I would give the edge of the Cowboys over the Rams right now. I don't believe in Stafford, and I certainly don't believe in the Wonder Boy, Sean McVay.
I don't know, but you're not going to get the edge in coaching for the Cowboys, that's for sure. Not as far as head coach, anyway. Coordinators have been great. Dan Quinn has been fantastic for the Cowboys. Now, yes, he got better players. Amazing how that works out. All right, you said about Micah Parsons. What a game changer. And think about this. Cowboys didn't want him. All right, I say that, by the way. It had nothing to do with Parsons. They wanted the quarterbacks. All right, they got screwed. Carolina and Denver both took cornerbacks back-to-back at 8 and 9 in the draft. Dallas had to pick number 10. All right, they went with their third choice, which ends up being the best player in the draft right now. Right, just a fantastic, you want to call it luck, good fortune, whatever it might be, but Parsons has been a game-changer for the Cowboys, an absolute game-changer, and they're getting healthy at the right time. I keep saying this, Joe. If you were to tell me week 17, I'm more worried about the offense than the defense, I would have thought you were on drugs. You know, absolutely on jokes in that there was no injuries on the offense. It's not like Dak got hurt, and that's why I'm worried about it. Now, that being said, all right, Dak looked fantastic against the Washington football team. Fantastic. All right, and it seems like the play that really turned him around was the one where, if you watched the game Sunday night, where Washington jumped off sides, and you see Dak, he knew he had nothing to lose, so he zipped the ball into the secondary. I think it was Amari Cooper. About a 25-yard gain there. And once that pass was complete, he seemed to get his confidence back. He was throwing the ball into the secondary again. If Dak is back, then Dallas is dangerous again.
But he is dangerous. Back. Probably. George, he's back. He's not running as much.
We got to see it against the real team. That's the Washington football team. They're not a very good team. He does it again on Sunday against Arizona. I'll buy in. With one little thing of caution here. We've seen this from the Cowboys. Not quite this team from the Cowboys, but we've seen them go on runs before in past years.
Correct.
And then when the games get big, as soon as the games get big, they come up small. And
that's an exact
problem. Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. House of Cards. I've seen that before here. So I think that's why Cowboy fans, at least from my perspective, why I have a tough time buying in, because I've seen this show before. We are in a new season here, a new show here, or is it we're going to want to repeat? And I'm going to see them fall apart against a good team. That's what I worry about.
Well, I agree with you, and I understand. You can't do it until you do it, right? And meaning in the sense of we understand the history of the Dallas Cowboys, and you can go back to that game with Dez Bryant. Was it an incompletion? Was it a catch and fumble?
It was a catch!
It was a catch. Trust me, I was in Chicago at that particular time, and it was definitely a catch, three steps. But they've been there before, right? They haven't stepped up. This team, though, to me, when I watch them, and I'm completely objective. I could care less about Jerry Jones. I don't dislike the Cowboys, love them, hate them. I'm neutral as it goes. But when I watch this team, there's just something about them, to me, on the defensive side of the ball that says, you know what? Come playoff time, I would buy into Micah Parsons. I would buy in to Trayvon Diggs. They've been winners at the collegiate level. They're winners at the NFL level. And this defense made a complete 360 once both of those players have stepped up. And now maybe Dallas has something where they're changing the guard on the defensive side of the ball, because we saw Arizona take Isaiah Simmons, the same type of similar linebacker, okay, that ran a 4.3 40 in the combine and didn't know how to utilize him in terms of playing him out of position. And now when Micah Parsons was forced into play to play on the defensive end, he stepped up and really changed that whole complexity of the defensive scheme. And now other D coordinators are saying, you know what? We need a linebacker that can run a 4.3. Yo, you think? I mean, that's the difference with this team right now. And I know that Dak hasn't played as consistent, but I'd still buy in because of the rushing attack of Zeke and Tony Pollard, that when push comes to shove, I buy into that offensive line, and that carries weight. So I would be willing prior to this game, this weekend, to pull the trigger plus 490 before the action for them to win the NFC Championship, because depending upon what happens, that value is not going to be there, especially if some of these other teams get knocked off, including the Green Bay Packers, by a good team in terms of Minnesota.
Oh, I agree. If Dallas wins on Sunday against the Cardinals and Dak plays well, you're probably looking at 490 getting cut in half. That's what I would assume. Just once again, people be on board. I think it'll come down to 250, 240 for the Cowboys, because once again, Dak will look good again. Dak was bad for a good 4 to 6 weeks, and he looked great Sunday night. If he's good, doesn't need to be great, by the way. If he's good, looks fine again. If he's, by the way, running as well. It's something we hadn't seen from Dak. He'd been a little bit afraid to run. Not that he's anywhere near Lamar Jackson or anything like that, or Josh Allen, but it's okay to take off every now and then. He'd been not wanting to do that. He did that on Sunday. I think that opened up things for him as well. If he's willing to do that, you're going to see that number come way down, by the way. If they beat the Cardinals, Dak looks good. You're probably looking at the 240, 230 range for the Cowboys.
Well, let me ask you this, because when the lines came out, I was shocked when I saw Washington, that was basically an 8.5-point dog when they played on Tuesday night, when they played side-by-side L.A. and Seattle with Garrett Gilbert. They lost that ball game by 10. Then they get abused by Dallas 56-14. Now they're only catching 3.5 to the Eagles and Jalen Hurts at home. Are we buying in right now to Ron Rivera where this defense is? Aren't you shocked that that line isn't maybe 5.5, 6, even though it is Jalen Hurts? I mean, the way they handled them, especially in terms of the interior, the way Miles Sanders and they were able to run the football in that first matchup, what's going to change in basically 2 weeks?
Well, I guess you gave away one of yours, so I'll give away one of mine. Yes, this will be one of my favorites tomorrow. We do our little segment there. Absolutely on the Eagles. I can't explain it to you. I guess if I'm guessing here, they think because Washington, they had that little implosion against Dallas, they are fighting on the sideline. It's a home game, a division game, so maybe they'll fight harder against Philadelphia. I don't know. I'm just speculating here, but I like the Eagles a whole bunch on Sunday. Once again, it's a massively important game in Philadelphia. No one can stop that run game. I don't care who's running. I know Sanders is out with a broken hand. It's probably going to be Boston Scott. Maybe Howard is able to play for the next thing. I don't think it could be Wilbert Montgomery could return, right? Ricky Waters has come here. They're all going to I think they're going to run all over on Washington. So, yes, I'm with you here. I can't explain this one. But this is also one of the ones that smells. It's because why? Why are they only giving 3.5? Why? This worries me somewhat, but I'll be on Philadelphia big time.
Yeah, I'm with you, because at the end of the day, I mean, if Washington, and I understand that we're backups, it's just how they lost. There was no heart in that team. They just completely quit on the defensive side of the ball. There was no heart in terms of the Washington football team in that matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. So if they couldn't step up against an arch rival, and you allowing your division opponent to tack on 56 for you, okay, so maybe the mindset is, oh, Ron Rivera is going to rip their ass because they got abused, and all of a sudden you're going to get a better defensive effort. Really? I don't know. Because they're in fighting right now, and I don't see things changing. If they're not going to step up and let their play dictate everything, you're going to need Ron Rivera and the coaching staff to say, guys, get it in gear. They've packed it in for the season. The other game, too, that smells, and it's going to be a best bet, I'll tell you right now. I'm not buying into the Rams, and they're on the road to face the Baltimore Ravens. This line smelled to me, even though it's back-to-back road games for the Rams, you're telling me they don't deserve to be a 6.5-point favorite on the road against Baltimore the way they got abused by Joe Burrow and that Cincinnati offense?
Well, Stafford was horrible. I once again, it's another game where how did Minnesota lose? I mean, when the game was over either. Early, by the way, they should have won. I mean, Stafford was awful in that game. I mean, he's bad. You still lost that game. Can't happen again. The problem is Baltimore's a mess, right? Their secondary is non-existent. Lamar Jackson, they showed him practicing yesterday. He's limping all over the place. I don't know if he can play. You know, Tyler Huntley, by the way, was activated off of the COVID list, so he will be able to play this week. But I think that's what it is there. I don't have all that great confidence in the Rams, especially on the road and what could be bad weather in Baltimore, or at least not the best of weather here. I'm looking at now 54 degrees and cloudy with 15-mile-an-hour winds. That's not terrible. I think the Rams would take that as far as a California team going on the road. It won't be one of my best bets, but it does smell a little bit because I know where you're coming from. Why, you know, for a Ravens team that's been getting rocked week in and week out, why are they not getting more points here? But if I were to bet this game, probably not going to, not right now anyway, I would probably take the Rams, at least until I find out about Lamar Jackson. And even if Lamar Jackson is starting, by the way, the way he looked in practice and limping, I don't know how much running he can do. He's definitely going to have a little, he's going to have a little hitch in his giddy up.
Well, you're right. So if it is Huntley and it's only four, what Lamar Jackson, you tell me this would be basically 2 or 1 in favor of the Rams? No matter, I mean, this is a defense that couldn't stop Joe Burrow. He put up 525 on that secondary last week. That's basically the strength of the LA Rams. Even though Stafford threw a few picks last week, they still put up yards through the air. Cooper Kupp had a solid day, and they were running the football with Michelle. They have Cam Akers that came back, so they have possibly two backs to utilize. I mean, the concern is, how is the Ravens going to stop that L.A. Rams offense right now? And you're telling me basically on what Lamar Jackson would be a pick'em game? Just seems odd.
I agree. Once again, it does smell. What does Vegas know that we don't? What are they seeing that we're not? You know, and I don't know offhand. I don't know what the algorithms are telling them, why they think this game will be closer than what we do, other than the fact that Stafford was awful last week. Are they assuming he'll be awful again? You know, is that where what's going on here? Which very well might be true here, but still, the Rams are the better team. I mean, the Ravens, I guess you could argue, do have more to play for, because they can make the playoffs if they win out. You know, but that being said, I don't think they can, not the way they've been playing.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, total is fairly low, 46.5, when you think about the amount of production that Cincinnati put up on that secondary last week. I mean, another key game in the AFC, the L.A. Chargers, 6.5-point favorites over Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos. Total is set at 46. Another matchup that we will get into on the back end is Tennessee and Miami. We talked about it yesterday, 3.5-point home favorites for Ryan Tannehill and the crew. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, George and I have been talking about the conference championship odds, also dived into some of the action for this coming weekend. Tomorrow we'll dive into all of our best bets, take you through the complete slate from Sunday through Monday night's action. Culminating with that game in Heinz Field. Big Ben could be his last ball game in Heinz Field for his career. We'll see how that plays out. But, George, one team, obviously, that has been hot as a pistol has been the Miami Dolphins. You think they have a shot against the Tennessee Titans? I actually think they win this ball game outright. I do feel they match up very well defensively against Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee offense, even though A.J. Brown broke out in that victory on Thursday night. It really, think about it, Miami has a short week and Tennessee has extra days of prep, and it's only 3.5 at home against the Fish. I'm going to roll the dice with Brian Flores here. I think they step up, win 8 in a row in this ballgame.
You know, our Scotty Wetzel, who does the show on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, been big on Miami for a long time now. I think it's about 8 weeks he's been on Miami to make the playoffs here. Miami's a weird team because they've had a 7-game losing streak and a 7-game winning streak. If they make the playoffs, they'll be the first team to have a 7-game losing streak and make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, they'll be the first team to have a 7-game win streak and not make the playoffs. Weird here. Do I think they can beat Tennessee? Yeah, I do. I still don't think they, oh, my God, no way. Of course. What are they afraid of with Tennessee? Tannehill's been pretty terrible. All right, I think Julio Jones is out this week. It leaves A.J. Brown. And that Miami defense is good. They will not let A.J. Brown beat them. He's not going off like he did last week. That's not happening here. So, yeah, I think it just comes down to which team makes the least amount of mistakes. If Tua cannot turn the ball over here. Other than that, I do kind of like Miami. I think it's going to be a close game, Joe, and I think the NFL screwed Miami over, by the way, with playing a Monday night road game and going on the road the next day. I believe Wetzel also pointed out on Twitter this week that's the first time that's happened this year.
Yeah, they remind me of the 1993 Houston Oilers team that was 12-4. They ripped off 10 in a row and then lost in the first round of the playoffs to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.